into a pretty expensive time of the year with Christmas parties, Christmas presents, Kris Kringle and all of that, and it all adds up. Financial planner and presenter of the Complaints Bureau, Owen McGee, is here now with the top tips on how to avoid shelling out a ton of cash over the season. Owen, you're very welcome along to the show.
Thanks, Laura. This is my first time in studio with you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm so excited.
I'm a newbie, so... Go easy on me.
I will go easy on you. I was saying that I feel like I know you because I've done all your like saving hacks over the years and stuff. So thank you for that. But is it already too late right now to start planning for the Christmas spend?
Absolutely not. Okay. No, definitely not. So what you really need to consider is over the next couple of weeks, what money is going to be taken out of your pocket by choice and what stuff can you actually control? So when I say by choice, it's kind of like where you have less control over it. Like you probably have to go to the Christmas party, the work Christmas party. Yeah. You don't have to go to the other Christmas party with your mates and work that nobody, you don't tell anyone about. You can go to that one if you want to, but you don't have to go to any of them, but you can make your choices between now and Christmas about what you're going to spend money on and what you're not going to spend money on. If I can give a really big tip, and one of the things that people often say, but you're a financial planner, of course you're going to say that, but it's actually true. When you're sitting down, and I really recommend people take out a pen and piece of paper, write down the name of the person you're going to buy for and how much you're going to spend, and ideally put down next to that what you're actually buying them, and write out that list and work out how much money is it that you're going to have to need for presents, and just take presents in isolation. And remember, when you're doing that list, like, I challenge you right now, think about someone really important in your life, right? And ask yourself now, here we are 11 months, 12 months later, right? Ask yourself now, what did they get you last Christmas?
Yeah.
And I bet you don't remember what they got you, unless it was something huge, you don't remember what you got. But I bet you can remember more or less how you felt on Christmas Day, right? So when you're putting that list together, remember, it's the thought that counts. It is genuinely the thought that counts. Mm. And don't get caught up in, I have to spend a fortune or else they won't be happy. Because it doesn't matter how happy the present makes them, they probably forget about it 10 or 11 months later.
They probably forget about it 10 or 15 minutes later. Because you open up all your presents on Christmas Day and then you knock about and you just have great crack with your family and whatnot. Yeah. You kind of forget what you've gotten in the morning.
We always remember how we feel. We don't remember what we got.
Owen, you say that we should all be taking notes of our Christmas spending right now.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, so you've got a real opportunity, and even though you might have had some Christmas activities already, the big ones are coming up over the next couple of weeks. So what I'd love you to do is every time you spend money on Christmas, right, whether that's extra in the groceries, whether it's the work night out, whether it's the taxi home, whether it's the shopping and the gifts that you got or the extra meal you went out for or whatever it is, just take out your phone, go into your notes section and write down what it was and what it cost you, okay? And just keep going and enjoy Christmas. There's no Grinch here, right? Enjoy Christmas, and after Christmas, kind of maybe 10th, 15th of January, take out your notes, take out a pen and piece of paper and figure out how much did Christmas actually just cost me?
Yeah.
What did it cost? It cost me, this year we'll spend, well, last year's numbers, assuming we stay similar to last year, a little bit over €1,000 per person is what we spend on Christmas. Yeah, just on Christmas, €1,000. And what I would say is if you can get a handle in early January as to how much it's going to cost, and let's keep the math simple for me, €960 is what it cost you this year.
Yeah.
Put away €80 a month. Christmas does happen, right? So you're either prepared for it or not prepared for it. And when we're not prepared for it, what we give ourselves a hug and we say, was a big financial surprise. It wasn't a financial surprise. We just weren't prepared for it. And what I would say is if you can't afford 100 a month, we're not going to cancel Christmas next year, but try and do 50.
Yep.
Right? Because you know what? One in three people. So think about this for a second, right? If you're at the Christmas party this year and there's 10 people at that Christmas party, three of your colleagues have borrowed money for Christmas. Okay, that's the figures on it.
Yeah.
One in three people will borrow money for Christmas. So if you can't afford to put €100 a month aside for 11 months to cover Christmas next year, put 50 and borrow half as much next year.
Yeah. I think, and I know you've been trying to change the landscape for years about this, but it is just this, like, you know, we throw our head in the sand when it comes to money and we don't want to talk about it and we don't want to deal with it. But if we do that, then if we actually do talk about it and we do this and we do put it aside, we won't have the anxieties because it'll be covered and we'll be ready to go. Let's talk about this Christmas. Christmas is coming right in front of us. What if you have a load of people to buy presents for and you know that you just don't have the money for it, what can you do?
Well, look, one of the things you can do is you can go to them and you can talk to them and say, will we skip each other this year or will we do something really small or will we put a limit on it? And that can be a really useful thing to do. Will we put a limit on it? So I know I threw out €50 there. I don't want to set a benchmark there. But let's say, Laura, you and I say it's £20 maximum, right? And actually, you know what? Try to buy something for £20
that's
meaningful and purposeful and actually knows that it shows that you thought about them. I guarantee you're going to put much more thought into that than you would if the limit was much higher than that. So definitely limits is a really good thing. Or just say, well, we just cancel each other out this year. You get me nothing, I won't get you anything, and we're done. And if you make that agreement, don't do the dirty on it and actually go and buy them. I got just something small anyway. That's terrible.
That's worse.
Yes.
That is the worst situation to be in as the receiver of it, especially when you have agreed otherwise, because then you're so awkward about it.
Yes. And so if you make an agreement, stick to it and don't go, oh, but you mean so much to me, so I got it anyway. Right. Don't do that. Right. The other thing is if you've got nieces and nephews or your kids of your own or you've got other friends who have kids, just, he can get really caught up in that, like buying loads of presents for nieces, nephews, kids, and just kind of go, you know what we're going to do? Laura, nieces and nephews, Laura's coming in 3 days after Christmas and she's paying for the takeaway or whatever, right? And something else that you just kind of pull them all together and try and cut the cost.
You just have to set your rules though, don't you? Like amongst yourself. Like I know in our family, it's like, because there's 27 grandkids in it and it gets very out of hand. Yeah, it's a lot going on. And we're all too intertwined. It's massive. So you just kind of deal with your godson or your goddaughter or your godchild, whatever it is. That's the only person you buy for. After that, you don't get anything because it just ends up being a bit tat.
And that to me makes a huge amount of sense. Do you know what else though? Sometimes you feel a bit awkward about going to your mate or your sister or whoever it is and saying to them, maybe we shouldn't buy for this year. I guarantee you they're delighted you brought up the conversation. Right? It's whatever, even if it's not financial, it's the headache that disappears for them. So absolutely engage with that and try and think about, how do I cut down the costs here? What is it? Who's going to be upset with me for not getting anything?
Yeah.
Maybe limits, if you were definitely buying, put limits and tell them the limits so that it's reciprocal. And that's really important. But if you're really stuck, like if you're getting caught out and you're saying, I'm going to have to borrow money, and you're looking at it now and you're writing down on a pen and piece of paper, how much is Christmas going to cost? And you're trying to figure out all the different things that you're going to spend money on, and you have to borrow money. Remember, the more planned you do the lending, that you borrow the money, the less it's likely to cost you.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is the easier it is to get a loan, the more expensive it usually is. So tapping on the credit card is really expensive, and it's really easy to do because it's pre-approved and it's what we call a line of credit, right? Whereas if you have to put a loan application into the credit union or the bank, they're assessing you, and therefore they have a better handle on whether you're going to pay the money back or not, so therefore they should be charging you less interest.
Okay.
The other thing to remember though is if you do, so I would really try and avoid credit card. Like there's nothing worse than the last week in January. You have no idea what you've spent,
course,
and then the credit card bill comes in and you go, oh wow, and you're carrying that financial hangover till April or March, or even worse sometimes, right? So be intentional about, right, this is how much I'm going to borrow, this is where I'm going to borrow it from. There's loads of places, there's calculators online. Now, I don't need to be careful, but CCPC, it's a government agency. They have sponsored some TV shows I've been involved in. That's the only thing I will say. But they have amazing calculators online that will show you, if you're borrowing from here, here's all the rates that are available in the market, this is how much you want to borrow, and they'll compare all the rates and they keep that very up to date.
Okay.
Right? So that's a great tool for people if you're thinking about borrowing money, how much you want to borrow, how long you want to. But remember, how long you pay it back over is really important too.
Okay.
Not just about saving money. If you put it over 2 years, you're paying for Christmas for the next 2 years. For me, what I'd love to see you do, and if you have to borrow money, is try and pay it back over 6 months.
Okay.
And then for the second half of the year next year, you actually save the money you were putting off the loan, so you have half
very
the problem.
Smart.
Okay.
Yeah.
So don't, but definitely not if you can't afford it over 6 months, and you can afford it over 10 or 11 or 12. Do it over 10 or 11 or 12, but just try and get a handle, get something aside, so next year you're not borrowing as much.
Let's talk about those people who come to September and they're like, I've all my Christmas shopping done. Like you know, my granny's like, yeah, no, I've everything done since August. Why do you think that it is buying early isn't all that clever?
The problem with it is eating bread is soon forgotten type of thing, right? So you buy something in September and come November, oh, there's something else that she'd love that as well. Oh, sure, I'll just get that as well, because you've already spent the money and you don't feel it. And therefore you do it again. You end up buying much more than you would if you did it in a controlled and very kind of regimental way. This is my Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Now, so buying early can cause you problems, but not as big a problem as buying late, right? You're legging it around on Christmas Eve and it's the most important person in your world and you haven't bought anything for them yet. What you'll tend to do is, imagine you were going to spend 50 quid, you'll see something for 20 euro and you'll buy that, because if I don't see anything else, and then you see something else for another 30 quid and another 20
quid. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Something that I obviously do most of my shopping online, like a lot of other people do, these options all the time, buy now, pay later. Talk to me about your advice on this.
So buy now, pay later, for anyone who is lucky enough not to be familiar with these things or hasn't seen them in their face the whole time, is where typically you spread the cost of the purchase over 3 payments and it's 0% interest. And it is 0% interest if you make the payments on time over the next 3 months. Where they catch you out is a couple of ways. Is first of all, they'll catch you out if you miss a payment, right? They'll also catch you out if you end up running over the 3 months and you have to extend it out because you have to come back to them and say, I can't afford this. you can pay for loads of stuff using these buy now, pay later facilities.
Everything there he offers.
I was shocked. I was on a takeaway delivery app, who I won't give a plug to. I was on a takeaway delivery app, and I could, if I spent more than €35 on a takeaway the other day, I could have spread it over three payments, right? Now, just think about how easily accessible that credit is, right? The problem with these is because they're so accessible, people end up with 10 and 15 of them.
Well, this is what I was going to say, because they're too easy and you do it at a load of different sites and then you forget what ones you have done and they're all coming out on different dates and then all of a sudden your account has gone into the red and you're going, oh crap, and you've missed the payment and then you don't know how many of those you've missed.
And you know, I've missed that. So my advice to people is, if you already have them and you're listening to this and, oh, I'm kind of caught up and wrapped up in that, I have 7 and 8, I have a few of them, I don't know, go and again get a pen and piece of paper, write them down with a pen and piece of paper and stick them to the fridge. And as they come out of your account, tick them off, put the dates in so you know, and just make sure there's enough money in your bank account the day before it's coming out, because that's where the problems start to rise.
Look, do you have any other tips on how to approach Christmas spending so that January, because it's already bad enough, it's bleak, it's cold, we're all wrapped up and we're all burnt out, to make sure that isn't a completely hellish month of debt?
What I would say is, if you arrive in January and you have carried some debt, particularly if it's on credit cards or it's on very expensive debt, you can get miserable and stick your head in the sand like we've described already, or you can actually actively do something about it. And actively do something, depending how big the problem is or how repetitive the problem is or often you find yourself. Sometimes people, and let's just talk about debt in general, not necessarily January, where people are constantly getting into debt, the biggest thing you can do to try and break that cycle is to talk to your best mate. Right, sit down with your best mate and say, this is what I'm at. We're a country that is crap at talking to each other about money, right?
We hate it. But we've been raised to kind of not talk about it, so we get so incredibly nervous because it's just very taboo.
Yeah, it is a taboo. And what I would say is that I would really encourage people to try and break that taboo. Like, we've got excellent in the last 10 or 15 years about talking about mental health, right? Blokes will talk to blokes about their mental health at this stage, which is an amazing and brilliant thing. But we haven't broken that taboo about money. And if you're still suffering with a financial hangover in January, talk to your mate about it. They'll say, oh, sure, I was there before. This is exactly what happens. And maybe your mate was never there before, but maybe they might be in the future. And what have you done? You've just opened up the door for them to be able to talk to you about it in the future. So talk to a mate. There might be a quick win solution that you just say, you know what, stick your head down. Don't go out for the next 2 weeks. When you get paid, it's gone, right? And or there might be a different solution that comes to mind where you need to borrow money to try and get yourself out of this, but make sure you don't land back in here again.
Yes, that's exactly what we're really looking forward to. But it is, look, I think what we've learned from all of this, pen and paper, talk about it. Just don't, like, stick your head in the sand and overspend, which we have all done, which we will all do, but we can start to break that cycle ever so slightly.
You can control your money or it can control you. Okay. You decide. That's what it comes down to.
Owen, the Complaints Bureau. You're looking for people. Talk to me about it.
The Complaints Bureau is back with series two. We are coming out. We'll be on air kind of late February, early March, I think. We haven't got a specific date yet, or I don't. But for people who don't know the Complaints Bureau, we have three excellent journalists. We have Conor Pope, Siobhan Maguire and Amy Malloy. And once a week, I'll take in the complaints from all the individuals out there. Everybody, so if you're banging your head against a brick wall with some customer service, apparently, department out there, come to us. We will get you the best opportunity of getting the resolution that you deserve or that you want or that you need. And we'll take on the complaints. We'll deal with them. We'll help you. We'll work it through. And it was very successful in series one. And we've had some great wins and then some things that were a bit more you'd wish they went a different way. But anybody who's out there who wants to get involved in this year's show, just email consumer@indiepix.ie. Okay. I'll just spell that IndiePix.ie. consumer@indiepix.ie. You don't need to give us War and Peace. Just give us a brief summary of what's going on for you. Give us a telephone number and the team will get in touch and talk you through everything that will happen.
Actually sounds like the dream. Someone else is going to take on the headache of complaining about something that you need sorted.
But that's it. And you know what? These guys, like the three journalists, are excellent at it. Like this is your best chance of getting your problem sorted out.
Love it. So much that we learned throughout all of that, and I hope that people can just take a deep breath, feel a bit better and enjoy Christmas for what it's supposed to be, and that's spending time with people and just having a good laugh.
Life is about experiences, not things.
Financial planner and presenter of the Complaints Bureau, Owen McGee, thank you so much for coming in with us today.
Thanks, Laura. 2FM.